That's my concern.
What do other people think? Jerry?
The nice part about going with, the nice part about going with the commissioner's mention of the combination of owner contribution, gaming, and fan support, you do away with both government issues as far as the cap, and you do away with referendum. It's certainly simplified things.
Marilyn?
I do think that we could have a fixed amount or at least a range to try and use something, otherwise that number's just floating out there.
And Marilyn, would you use it as a dollar amount or as a percentage of the cost?
I said I was 55.
All right. What do other people think about this issue of a cap with the funding source up being team contribution or team down payment, fan support, and local option taxes? I think Clarence presented my concern. Teams could perhaps unfairly leverage the competing cities or counties to push up the amount of the local contribution. And we may actually do the cities a favor if we set some limit. The question is, where do you set it? If baseball or football could occur in 2004, and if a sport could occur in 2005, inflation is an issue that could affect the cap if you set it in dollars. If you set it in percentages, then the appetite for amenities may be an issue as to what is included in the stadium. What do other people think on this issue?
Mr. Chair?
Representative Solberg.
Keep in mind also, even if it's a local sales tax, it's still the general public is paying for the cost. It's still a tax. Even though, we're going to say who benefits and who pays.
Right.
And I think that you have to be very careful that we don't go down the road of having it perceived as not reality. Huge
Mr. Chairman, this is Roger.
Yes, Roger.
If I envision the sports authority, whatever that the first entity would be, I envision them negotiating with the site and representatives on behalf of a particular site. I really think the teams have to be kept aside in that process. The teams, in terms of their contributions, Clarence is right in that. You can't let them get involved because you can imagine I-94 between Minneapolis and St. Paul, or they'll just keep going back and forth on that, upping the ante between the two cities. So I think you have to keep the teams at an arm's length from the experts who are going to be negotiating on behalf of the state to select a site. And in doing so, I get back to one comment that was made at, I think, one of the first meetings, which I think is a rule of thumb we ought to try to stick by, and that is, don't tie this process up too much. Give enough flexibility to people you trust to negotiate on behalf of this to cut the best deal, the best financial deal, the best deal for the fans, and on. So I'd be a little reluctant to get too prescriptive on some of these things.
I really agree with that. Thank you, Senator.
Hey, Scott, I would also echo the Senator's comments.
All right.
It's Tom Rose, and I agree with Roger Moore.
John Curtis Mayer also.
Jamie
Vesson also. All right, good. We draft a report saying, you'd have disclosure, the authority would have to approve it, but probably not providing for a hard cap. The next issue is one we debated some last week, but I think we need to talk about more, and that's the issue of a referendum. And, we have to think both about how this committee feels, what we think is likely to pass the legislature.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
This is Lisa Peel, and I might as well start this one off again.
You bet. Please, Lisa, go ahead.
You know, I've been thinking about this a lot. I did have a call from a gentleman very opposed to the stadium after our last meeting, and we had a really nice talk. When we were going back and forth, and he was concerned that my comments on the referendum meant that I didn't think the people could have a choice, and I assured him that was not my point at all, that the people, in fact, have a very strong choice, and that's through the existing election process. But if maybe we think about this some more, and maybe we find my thinking, and I guess the other point I'd like to add about a referendum, and it's talking to the gentleman really reinforced it too. He was very frustrated with government in general, and I'm very angry. And when you have an issue that you take out of the legislative arena, put in a referendum, if you have an issue that has no context, it's an issue you're voting on in a vacuum. And I think it can be a magnet for all kinds of other frustrations or emotions or issues that get poured into it. I feel very strongly that these issues can be debated within the legislative arena, and that's how priority sort of spells out. I guess the rest of my thinking is pretty well known on this, but I'll try and be quiet on it for each other.
All right. What do other people think?
This is Roger. Mr. Chairman, I would distinguish between the two. Only in that if you start to deal with, as you mentioned here in option A, a broader-based sales tax or some kind of broad-based tax, I think I would probably be silent on that issue, knowing full well what my former colleague will do. And on the other is I really feel strongly that no referendum is required. If a city decides that they want to do this to help make their package work, or the county or something, more local government specific, I don't think, my feeling is that that would not necessarily require a referendum, and we'd be specific about that.
All right, what do other people think? Terry Norton. Oh, I'm sorry. Senator Larson.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I agree with Roger on that point on the referendum. But before we even get to that, you know, when we hit these presentations, the only presentation that drew any legislative support was up in Anoka County, where you had bipartisan support from a couple of legislators.
Well, Hennepin County also. Don't forget, they offered a non-contingent plan. Where they said that they, the county, the chairman of the county board.
Well, I'd like to finish, please.
I'm sorry.
The point is, if you're going to include Hennepin County and Minneapolis in this project, now, I would like to see a vote by the delegation from that county and the city to see whether or not they support it. The same way with the city of St. Paul. You know, we for years have supported the Twins particularly, and we get, I think, Dick Jefferson was the only Minneapolis legislator that ever supported the proposal that they had from Minneapolis at that time. And, you know, that really kind of bothers me. I'd like to have a poll taken of the legislators from the affected proposals, whether or not they would go ahead and support some sort of a proposal. I think that's what I said. If those people are not going to come over here and support the proposals from their various cities or counties, then you know I don't think it's going to pass.
Senator Steve Kelly has just joined us. Does Senator Kelly have a copy of the handout? We'll make sure that we get to what everybody else is working on. And Senator Kelly, we're at the point in the agenda where we're talking about whether or not a referendum should be required.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, please go ahead.
And that means if I may comment,
yes,
I agree with Senator Moe. As long as a local unit of government is taking responsibility, as Chairman Johnson willingly said they would do, I see no need for any kind of referendum. That's up to Hennepin County voters. However, if they do go to a metro-wide, mm-hmm. then to me that splits the question and divert the attention a little more, and perhaps I would consider it. But in the case of Ramsey or Hennepin County, they were pretty forthcoming, and I can't see any need for a referendum.
I'd be interested in, as a former legislator, my concern is that I think it will be harder to pass out of the legislature if there isn't a referendum. But I certainly appreciate the discussion. One possibility is to require that the governing authority in the case of a local tax, city or county, that there be a specific referendum or specific resolution, rather, of the city council or county board authorizing the tax in the absence of a referendum. In other words, they decide they don't need a referendum.
Yes.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, go ahead.
Steve Strand, quick question. I think we're talking about two different things. A referendum may or may not be required for a local option sales tax, let's say for Hennepin County or the city of St. Paul. But we're not talking about a referendum for, let's say, a metro-wide, for example, car rental tax, if that is the state's portion of a stadium funding solution. Is that correct?
Well, I think the governor has ruled out a kind of general tax, if you're thinking of state as state government.
Right.
And so if there were a regional rental car tax, it would have to be imposed. First of all, you get into an technical constitutional problem on the bond. If it's a tax of statewide applicability, it becomes a general obligation bond, requires a 60% vote of the legislature. It is not a revenue bond. If the Met Council, for example, were to elect to have a metro-wide car rental tax, and then it were levied by the Met Council, I think you'd see it as more a local contribution in the metropolitan area and not a, quote, state government contribution.
Very good. Thanks.
But the practical issue, even though you can make an argument for direct democracy or representative democracy, is that if 2002 is any indication, the reason a fair number of legislators were comfortable with voting for the 2002 bill is it required a referendum for any local option tax. Mr. Hightower.
Mr. Chair, your suggestion about a local resolution would meet my needs and not have a need for a referendum.
All right. Anything else on that issue? We will bring that back for a vote to see what the consensus on the committee is when we meet on Thursday. The next item on the list is a shared increase in the value of teams. I know this would be simple to talk about. It takes fairly some legalese and some lawyering to make it work, but I'd be interested in hearing from the committee as to whether you think this should be a criteria.
Don Gertesmeyer, yep, I think this should be part of it.
And so you argue for option A, that if to the extent the public makes an investment in the facilities and the facility adds to the value of the team, there'd be some revenue sharing in the event of a sale?
In the event of a sale, that's it.
Jerry, aren't you?
I agree with that. In fact, I believe the Twins have already gone on record as supporting that.
And I believe the Vikings have said it's one deal point in a long list of deal points that they certainly would be willing to talk about. They haven't been through the negotiating process to the extent the Twins have been and working on these various issues. Anybody disagree with the idea of revenue sharing for team value in the event of a sale, Senator Kelly?
I think it might end up being part of a deal, but we aren't very consistent about this. The House passed a bill authorizing gaming at Canterbury Downs. The stock went up $30 million just on that authorization, and there wasn't any requirement in that provision for an increase in the value of Canterbury Downs resulting from giving them a new revenue source. So I don't know that we are at all consistent about our approach to this, and I'm concerned that the more criteria we put in a bill, the less likely that something will get done and that there will be yet another stadium commission in 2005 or 2006.
I think the consistency issue also would apply to XL Center. Yeah. But just as a matter of curiosity, did the stock go back down when the Senate failed to adopt the bill?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I didn't follow it that closely. I remember noting it, but I'm sure there was a drift back down over time.
But if the bill had actually taken effect, there would have been an increase in the value, as you know.
Oh, and it would have been probably much greater than $30 million.
Yeah, and so it's the consistency is worth talking about. Is there anyone else? And, you know, we could draft criteria in a bill that were mandatory and others that were encouraged as part of the negotiations. I think we can go on to the next issue, and that's essentially how we phrase the work on site selection. And I don't need to read it to you. It's Roman numeral 2 on page 3.
Mr. Chairman, this is Lawrence Folger.
Lawrence, could you speak up just a little?
Yeah, this is Lawrence. Can you hear me better now?
Yes.
I know that in our deliberations, I think all of us felt that there were two sites for the Twins that rose to the top and two other sites that rose to the top. But if we go down the road of another independent body doing some negotiations, there's nothing to prevent let's say, a different site from emerging as well to a different group. And I think for us to recommend to the government that only those sites be considered by future negotiations also ties ours at their hands. Competition, I think, is good for this, and there may be some other sites that would come up to be stronger. I think we were correct in saying that of those that were presented to us, these were probably the strongest ones. But I think we could recommend that to the government and say that, but I don't think we should necessarily tie any future selection to the panel.
Mr. Chairman, this is Jamie Dustin.
Yes, please go ahead.
I would, and I know I've been kind of taking this position all along, but I would argue perhaps two different positions, one for the Twin situation, one for the Vikings situation. And I think in the Twin situation, we should absolutely limit it to the two sites, the Minneapolis site and the St. Paul site, just because they have had so many more years of negotiations and of participation at the legislative level and of research and viability. I think the Twin sites are just really in light of the urgency of that matter, I think we ought to be more specific there. But I think with the Vikings site, especially after some of Mr. Kelly's comments last week regarding potentially looking at the farmers market site or other sites that he thought might be better for the team, and because they've been added for so much less time in terms of more fleshed out sites, and in my view, only coming up with one viable site, through that first presentation, the Anoka site, perhaps we ought to have different language for that and allow more room for other sites in the right situation.
What do other people think? Frank Pytar.
Mr. Chair, and I don't think I'm going to get much support on this, but I think even with baseball, I think we should even prioritize between Prince Henry County and St. Paul.
I agree with Clarence.
And who was that spoke last?
Sorry, just to place the one. I agree with the
So you'd like to take a vote saying committee likes site A and site B?
Yes.
I'm not suggesting we take either of those off the table, just that we think, based on what we're looking at, this seems to be a better deal or not.
And I'm concerned that doing that would make it less likely we could pass the bill in the long term because of the, if it serves to lessen competition, but I want to hear what other people think. Do people think about the issue of how we deal in a proposal to the governor with the stadium issue, or with the siting issue?
Well, Senator Larson, Mr. Chairman, it comes back to this, whether or not you're going to have local legislators support it or not. I think that's the key. And I feel very strongly about that if they want the facility at Hennepin County in Minneapolis, let's get a vote of the legislators and see how many of them support it. Same way with the city of St. Paul. We come down here and make some decisions, and we don't get much support from some of these people. Frankly, very particularly Minneapolis, they're not supporting. Minneapolis delegation, Dick Jefferson's the only guy that ever voted for Twin Stadium for Minneapolis. And I don't know where the rest of the people are, but they're not Twin.
Hi, Mr. Get the sense that you're talking directly to me, and I think you should probably talk to your other steering committee members. And they're not the rest of my people.
Well, I know that, but you were bringing up Minneapolis, right?
No, I did not. I'm supposed to say we should play our own thing. I didn't say you don't have any support.
No, I don't either. Yeah, that's...
Well, I don't want to support it.
Mr. Chairman, I'm supporting the fans of Minnesota, and I want to pass a bill that gives us the best chance of getting to a conclusion. Very much.
That's the final answer is that, you know, all we're doing is recommending. The legislature is going to decide.
Right.
And in order to get it through the legislature, I think we need to stay site neutral between these options.
What do other people think? Senator Dodd.
Well, there are a couple different issues. One is, on the merit, what's the better site versus how are we going to get legislative support? But I think another issue to keep in mind, and Senator Larson, I suppose it depends on how large body you're talking about. Since I've been a consistent supporter of solving this problem, not necessarily in the way that some people think, but and I happen to live in Hennepin County, I think there are folks on our side of the river who've been trying to be constructive in solving this problem. But I do think it would be bad for this committee to come off as if we are against one community and in favor of another. I think that hurts the credibility of all the recommendations, and I'd be very cautious about doing that. I recognize, certainly from our discussions last week, that some members really want to make as many decisions as possible, but I think it's really important to keep in mind the appearance created by some of that, both the discussion and the results.
I heard Roger Moe and Marilyn. I've got a couple of people. Roger, do you want to go next?
Thank you. I just want to agree with Senator Kelly and then also add that one of the previous members indicated maybe a bit more rigidity as it applies to the baseball stadium, and then maybe a little more flexibility as it applies to the football stadium. I tend to come down with that position simply because I think there's more options for football than really to make baseball viable. I think we've narrowed that field down to the two sites, and I think that's appropriate, and then let it go from there. Otherwise, why would you appoint a site selection authority if you were going to get into that? But I would say that maybe, I think we all agree that there were some pretty attractive other sites, even though they probably had not been thought through as well as the two that we have on the list.
Thank you. Marilyn Porter first, and then Mary Brandt. Marilyn.
I think it's kind of difficult with the input, kind of input that the city concerns to Kelly to pick one or the other. So I would be in favor of baseball and keeping both Minneapolis and St. Paul too. And moving forward with those two, but not letting any.
So Marilyn.
Tom Rosen.
Tom Rosen, let me get Mary Brainerd first. She had her hand up. And you may have had your hand up too, Tom, but I couldn't see it. I'll come back to you in a moment. Mary Brainerd.
I'm on the page as well of keeping both of the sites for the Twins. And actually, I'm still a proponent of trying to narrow down the Vikings. I hate to see that D.C. money disappear and also feel like, we could start this process, or another group of people just like us could start this process all over again and only result in more delays. So
that may be more of an issue when we get down one more or two more bullets when we talk about phasing, that I hear you speaking for letting both stadiums proceed simultaneously, see if they can make a deal. So that, but in terms of site selection, you're supporting a fairly open recommendation.
I'm in favor of it as written.
Okay. All right. And then I heard a voice with Tom Rosen, you're next.
Well, we went over this thing the last time,
And I suggested that we should go three to Minneapolis-St. Paul. And then the legislators on the committee said, no, that wouldn't be very good politically. I mean, there's only two proposals in baseball that are really even close to getting ready to go. And I think that the way we've got it now where, you know, if it's politically going to put the bill in jeopardy, then we probably should do that. So I think the two are right. We kind of voted on it before and said, well, let's pick these two and let the legislators fight over where it's going to go.
Right.
And the Vikings, there's really only two that are, there's only really one that's way, way out ahead. The other one's sort of there. The other ones are just a kind of a thought in somebody's mind that they're at least a year or so away from ever coming to anything. So, I mean, I don't think that, and Anoka's put a lot of time in it, hours and hours. I think he should be rewarded for that.
And that's more or less how this is drafted, and it's in bullet point rather than bill language, but it was an attempt to follow the discussion from the last meeting.
Right.
Let's move ahead. I think the governance bullet is pretty well understood from our last meeting, that the authority would own the stadium and oversee the leases. It would provide that kind of dual entity if it was a city, county, or metropolitan entity that levied the tax. And that I think we're leaving open to the legislature whether that authority would be reconstituted after a deal is made to at least in part reflect the some balance to those who are levying the tax.
Mr. Chair, Scott.
Yes, Scott.
Do you see this, I kind of wrestled with this one, do you see this as Metropolitan Sports Facility Commission versus the way the XL is managed? Does it understand the XL that the team is actually responsible for operating the facility, keeping it first class order, and does not have an authority managing that? Would the authority oversee the leases and in fact operate, or would that be a separate issue?
I think it's a separate issue, but I think what I thought where we were headed in the last meeting was that the model where the teams run the facility seems to be working nationally. But with public financing, there should be some entity that negotiates the lease and that may have some public policy oversight for terms in the lease such as use by the by amateur sports or the relationship with the state high school league. And it would be a fairly limited level of oversight. Now, in St. Paul, that's essentially the model, but the city owns it, the city council exercises that oversight, and the team runs the facility. I think because of, for a variety of reasons, including the need to have a siting process, and the fact that some of these are taxes that might be paid from a broader constituency, the discussion was leaning toward a more statewide or regional body. But I'd like to hear what other people think about this issue. Brian Sitar.
Mr. Chair, just clarification. Then who would schedule the other non-sports events if you came in the facility?
The way the XL works, and someone may know better than correct me, and I see Bill Lester here, I think is generally familiar with how it works. The team, the Wild, runs that arena on a year-round basis. Oh. They're the folks, and they're responsible for the revenue to pay the lease and to do upkeep and maintenance and reserve for future improvements. And they get the revenue from concerts and from other things, and they're responsible. However, they have some responsibility for some amateur sports requirements and some community service kinds of things that I believe are overseen, that relationship is overseen with the city council. And the most of the public facilities discussions have had some role, some sort of public good use of the facility. The Metropolitan Sports Facilities Commission goes the furthest in that with opening the facility for running and rollerblading. But the Target Center has, I think it's so many uses a year for Minnesota Amateur Sports Commission. This would have the team run it, and there is still some public oversight role, but it's more limited than the current Sports Facilities Commission.
Mr. Chairman, Don Gertesmeyer.
Yes, Don.
Question on the Metrodome. Is the Sports Commission that schedules and controls other events, track and pole shows, concerts?
That's correct.
They do that.
That's correct. And those revenues go to pay for the maintenance, upkeep, and improvement of the facility.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Let's talk about the phasing issue. The we tried to write the first one, the U of M, would be treated as a separate issue. They'd be allowed to pursue private financing and seek legislation as they chose, but seeing it as separate from the phasing of professional sports. And then we laid out four options.
Mr. Chairman, on the Gophers, there will be a bill introduced. Senator Michelle and I will be introducing the bill in respect to the moving of the Gophers back to the campus.
Okay.
We'll have a bill on that.
And then we laid out four possible options regarding the publicly assisted or community assisted professional facilities. And you can read them there. Baseball first, football second, football first, baseball second. Both stadiums could move forward simultaneously and negotiate deals or have the bill be silent on the issue of sequencing or prioritization. What do people think?
Yeah.
Mary Brainerd.
Is there such a thing as baseball urgent, don't slow down Vikings? What would that
You could try to draft that. That would be, you know, some language that says, in the opinion of the committee, both could proceed. The baseball is more urgent, and we would urge the regional authority to expedite the baseball. But if the city and team and fans are ready to move ahead in football, they're welcome to do so.
Or should do so. I agree with Mary Brainerd on that. And I mean, I think they should proceed if they can, but definitely baseball
first. Senator Kelly. Well, the sense I get is that with the one bill and some of the options that are still on the menu for financing, that assuming these revenue sources go in at the same time, the money would be there for two stadiums. Why even hint at a delay, especially in light of current interest rates and the inevitable fact that construction costs always go up if you wait? And I think in some of the criteria that we'll get to later, we talked about a maximum price for a facility. You don't want to try to set a maximum price if you're going to suggest that construction isn't going to start until 2 years from now. Senator, there seemed to be a fair amount of consensus before you got here not to set that, but to require perhaps that the authority approve a deal so that it wasn't unduly rich for a team, or that there's some oversight by the governor or the commissioner of finance, but not artificially to set a dollar amount. Now, staff would draft some language to that effect when we take a vote on Thursday, but I think you're right, they work together. What do other people think on the issue of, I think Senator Kelly's suggestion would follow item D, that a recommendation would be silent on the issue of prioritization and let the two negotiations take their course.
This is Tom Rosen. I agree with Senator Kelly.
Was that Tom Rosen?
Yes.
Okay, thanks, Tom. May I recognize Jerry Norrissey? Jerry?
Well, I speak in favor of option A simply because of the leasing arrangement. The Twins are on a year-to-year basis, so I think the urgency for baseball is more than for the Vikings. Although I like Mary Brainerd's comment about going forward with both, but the Twins having a greater issue.
Some sort of sense of the committee in pause, but my concern about A is that you say a football deal can't proceed until a baseball deal is completed. If you couldn't proceed, if a baseball deal didn't get done, football would be prohibited even if they could get done. And so I think it may have some negative, or you could put some dates in it. Yes, please go ahead.
This is Lisa Kuhn. I guess I want to bring up the point that Jamie brought up before, which is that everyone's made some really good points, but that the Twins proposal seems to be so much more highly developed than any of the others that to me that there's a sense of urgency right there in terms of proceeding. And also just what I hear in the community is that public sentiment as far as I can tell, seems to throw in favor of doing something first to the Twins.
Yes, Renee, go ahead.
We need to look at option two very carefully because, as I understand it, the DC money is running out, or there are other teams that are competitive for that. And that piece of the pie, or that $51 million, whatever it is, will not be available for as long as we might want it to be.
It could be up to $150 million, as I understand it, but you make the right point about the timing.
Again, I would repeat myself by saying I don't think you ought to be very prescriptive. I think if you're going to create an authority, negotiate on behalf of all of us in this state, and you're going to put good, knowledgeable, thoughtful people who know about all of this on there, I think you have to vet them with the authority to make the decision.
I'd like to suggest we will draft two pieces of language, one that's completely silent on prioritization and the one that gives sort of a pros preference, saying the team should give priority to, or the authority would give priority to baseball, but that both could proceed, and we'll take a vote on it on Thursday. Is that okay? Anybody want another option drafted?
Mr. Chairman, I was just thinking that if we could get the University of Minnesota project moving and get a stadium built over there and get that, that takes a couple of years. And then we tear down the Metrodome and have the Vikings play a couple of years at the university and then build a new stadium on that site. Is that an option?
It has been discussed. It means that the Vikings would play in a 50 or 55,000 seat stadium for a couple of years. I think they like that option better than not getting a new stadium, but it's not as attractive as some other sites. But it certainly would be an option available to the sports authority under the kind of relatively open structure we're describing.
I think we voted that down already, haven't we?
We voted down the idea that we would list renovation, Tom, as one of the options, as mentioned somewhat parenthetically in the Hennepin County, Minneapolis proposal.
Okay.
If I could move on to the top of page four, the top of page four is brings us back to the issue of time frame. And I was a little unclear from the discussion. I think we perhaps want to bring this back on Thursday. One possibility is to say, and again, this will depend on what the legislature and the governor do, or how their belief is about the need for a referendum. I would argue for a deadline, but not a real close deadline, a deadline with some room for negotiation. Where were we earlier on deadline? Undecided?
Yes, sir. I believe there was not a decision on deadline.
All right, we'll bring the deadline decision back just for the pro and con and take a show of hands vote on Thursday. The bill framework, the bill should propose a single bill, and I think that leads us to the draft that we provided on page, they're unnumbered, they say draft at the top, and it's criteria bill options list revised. I would appreciate any input members of the committee have on this. This tried to reflect the discussion we've had, but it obviously would have to change some depending on decisions made on various deal points on Thursday.
Mr. Chairman?
Brooks and Silver.
I don't think we should be at the point of a draft of legislation, but I think that making bullet points or recommendations to the governor is very appropriate for us.
Okay. And then that would get converted later in the process into something like you see in this list?
Well, it could be. I think, our role is to recommend something as a committee. We may have some divided recommendations. I don't think we're going to have 100% on everything. But, again, the governor has to do the drafting of the final bill. I think.
Okay. I'm fine with that.
Let him have that discussion. He may have another idea completely, too.
He may, but he's also looking forward to the recommendations from this committee.
Yes.
Other discussions on that issue? Is there other business that people want to discuss before we adjourn this call? And just remind you, the meeting will be at 12:30 on Thursday the 29th. Is it in room 5, John? And it'll be in room 5 of the State Office Building. Senator Kelly.
Mr. Chairman, you know, we may already have dealt with it, but if we say anything about the university, I think we need to recognize the committee is in the direction not necessarily providing for them this time around, but I think it's important to recognize that they will not be viable sole occupants of a Metrodome location, and they've talked about the fact that they need $90 million. My suggestion would be that actually if you sell the dome, you could probably get somewhere between $40 and $50 million for it. So what the Gophers need is somewhere closer to $45 or $50 million than $90 million. We may want to at least recognize that there are other financing sources that we haven't talked about that might be suitable for the Gophers. And then one issue I wanted to toss out, there are different ways of getting at the question of increased value and revenue and so forth, and I'm very sensitive to the fact that if you add taxes on tickets and things like that, that it's a trade-off between team revenue available for rent or other kinds of things, but I've been hearing a lot from cable providers recently about the prices that the Twins are proposing to charge for access to the Twins cable channel. And so the thought has occurred to me that maybe we should keep our eyes on team non-stadium revenue as a possible source for financing. Yes, please go ahead.
I don't feel as if we have resolved that Gophers issue. I understood that it was still to be on the table, but for a separate discussion.
Okay. I had thought it was going to be left for a separate legislative discussion rather than a separate committee discussion,
okay.
But I'd be open. Jamie, what would you like to see happen with language in this committee's recommendation as regards to Gophers?
Well, I guess it was my understanding that we were at least going to have some discussion about whether or not we would recommend support for a stadium for them separately from this or not.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, go ahead.
This is Lisa Peel, and I'd like to strongly support the comments of Senator Kelly and Jamie on the subject of the U. If we're here for a comprehensive plan, I think we need to issue something that recognizes the appropriate legitimate use of the university.
Well, Senator Kelly raises the issue of the value of the Metrodome and perhaps the Sports Facilities Commission reserve, depending on at what point in their life some action were taken. We can discuss it a little further now. We have a few more minutes, and we can also discuss that as part of our meeting on Thursday. Other business to come before the committee?
Mr. Chair?
Yeah, President Silbert.
Let me just echo Senator Kelly's comment as well. In my area, the ancillary costs associated with the Twins is very real and very controversial. Access to being via cable throughout the state of Minnesota and other parts of the upper Midwest becoming very much of a controversy. And the cost associated with that access.
John Gertesmeyer, we're seeing some of that right now with the University of Minnesota basketball team.
Exactly. I'd like to be watching University of Minnesota basketball, and I don't believe any of us are able to do that quite yet.
No, but that's the same owner that will have telecast rights for the
All right.
Victory Sports.
And Mr. Chairman?
Representative Holbert.
Mr. Chairman, what that does as well is it diminishes the support for any professional team throughout the upper Midwest.
Yes, if they're not accessible to citizens
in cable-served areas.
That's correct.
Yeah. Well, Senator Kelly thought of a revenue source I had not thought of, and that's some sort of tax or surcharge on the cable revenue or some inclusion of that in the negotiations, at least, as non-stadium revenue. I think I'll bring today's meeting to a conclusion then, and we will be back at 12:30, and the meeting is scheduled 12:30 to 4:30 on Thursday, January 29th, in room 5 of the State Office Building. Our staff will get to further iterations of the recommendation so that you can see it before the meeting. Thank you, everybody. We'll see you on Thursday in St. Paul.
Dan?
Yes, sir. Hang on a second.
Dan, is it a conference call next February 2nd? What is the format of that a little bit so I kind of know where I got to be and what's going on?
We can decide on that on Thursday. In theory, we can just present him with a written report. We wouldn't have to have a any sort of formal gathering.
Okay, well, that's what I kind of wanted to know what that was all about.
I envisioned that that would be handing him the report.
Okay, thank you.
All right, we should adjourn. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Do I have a minute? Do you have Foxy Rose? Is there any Foxy?
You can call in. Where are you going to be?
I'll be at the Mount Vernon.
I talked to John and probably not going to call in.
I'm going to
you.
What's that?
I am.
I'm going to